If you have your copy of God's Word, please take it and turn with me to John's Gospel. We are indeed continuing our study of the Gospel of John this morning from John chapter 16. We'll look at verses 1 through 15 together. We've come to the final chapter of the section known as the Farewell Discourse. 15, 16, 17, or 14, 15, 16 really, are a specific set of instructions given by Jesus to the disciples, offering them encouragement, instruction, understanding in the days, weeks, months, and years to come, preparing them for what's next. Jesus spends most of his time in this section preparing them for his death and helping them to understand what's about to take place. But here in chapter 16, at least this portion, he prepares them for what's going to happen after his death, after the resurrection, after the ascension. How are they going to endure the years to come? How will they survive without Christ there at their side? Jesus, in a lot of ways, gives them the path forward here in our text. And so let us hear of that path that will be carried out for God's glory and the good of the church. I'd like to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 15. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please bow with me as we ask his blessing upon this time? Dear Heavenly Father, we have heard your word this day. Many of us want to know what life is going to be like in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead. We want to know the path forward, God. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you show us what you need us to see. Teach us the truth that you taught the disciples. Give us wisdom and understanding that we might not only hear your word, but understand it, and not just understand it, but apply it to our lives. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a pastoral friend in Kansas City who often would take his lunch breaks, and it's one of those churches that right next to the church is a cemetery. He would take his lunch breaks and he would walk through the cemetery. I remember asking him once, that's a bit of an odd practice. What are you doing this for, Tony? And he said, well, I need the exercise. And Tony was never one to do something for a little reason. It was always something significant. I said, no, really, tell me. He said, perspective, Aaron. I do this to gain perspective. You see, in this cemetery, a pastor and theologian, Dr. Robert Raymond, that you may be familiar of, his son, a member of that church, was buried. Alongside Dr. Robert Raymond, a very influential pastor, was Tony's father, a man converted later in life to the faith. And there they lay side by side in this cemetery. He told me once, "Aaron, this is where we're all headed. This is our fate unless Christ come back first." And so he told me one of the reasons that he walks through the cemetery is perspective. The other reason, he gave me two, he said, it gives me a chance to pray for my people now. Because most likely one day, at least a portion of them, I will pray over them here in this place. But while I will do that and do that gladly, I'd rather be praying for them now, what they're facing, what they're going through. And he said, and I will wonder, I'll walk across a tombstone and I'll think about that family and wonder, where is that family? What's going on in their lives? And sometimes I'll pray for them. The Lord grants me great perspective as I walk through the tombstones. Many of us, I would say, like to know what is ahead. Now, do many of us want so much a perspective that we've ordered our lives from now until the grave? I doubt it. Maybe you have. But isn't it true that many of us have a 1 year, a 5 year, a 10 year, maybe 20 year plan? We have goals that we want to accomplish. We cast forward as much as we can, knowing that it's ultimately the Lord's decision. We want to have everything laid out so that we are prepared for what is coming. I want you to think about the disciples this morning. They don't know what's happening in the next 24 hours. They don't understand. Jesus has spent a great deal of this section of John telling them, you're not going to get it until it happens. You're not going to get it until it's done. And then you will look back and see my plan in all things. But here, Jesus is focused not just on the next 24 hours, which he spent a great deal of time on, but on the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years. How are you going to minister in Asia? How are you going to minister to the Gentiles? How are you going to minister to the Jews, some of the very ones who persecuted me unto death? How are you going to proclaim my name faithfully and boldly? To that, Jesus wants to prepare them for the path ahead. He does that by giving them three guides. These will guide you in the days ahead. He tells them, my teaching will protect you from persecution. He tells them, the Holy Spirit will comfort you in times of sorrow. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit again will guide you in truth. Each of these guides that Jesus gives the disciples for the days ahead, they remain guides to us today. As people who live after the resurrection but before the second coming, we can take comfort in the words that Jesus offers. And so let us think about the days ahead, and let us do it beginning with the teaching of Jesus as a protection against persecution. In the very last section, just before this passage, Jesus warned the disciples that they will face persecution on account of his name. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus tells us why he warned them here in verse 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Jesus understands what the disciples are about to face. The level of persecution is so intense that is coming that it will be tempting to walk away from the faith. The level of persecution they're about to face is so severe, Jesus says, I write this so you don't abandon what you have learned. The fact that Jesus does teach them this, the fact that Jesus tells them about it, it is a mighty gift. It forewarns them. It was not a surprise to Jesus. It was not a shock. It should not be a shock to them. But you know that you may be ready. I love what John Calvin says of this reason for forewarning the disciples. Calvin says this, we ought to understand Christ does not send his followers into the field unarmed. Therefore, if any man fail in warfare, his own indolence alone is to blame. And yet, we ought not to wait till the struggle be actually commenced, but ought rather to endeavor to become well acquainted with these discourses of Christ, and to render them familiar to our minds, so that we may march into the field of battle as soon as necessary. For we must not doubt the victory is in our hand, so long as the admonition of Christ be deeply imprinted upon our hearts. Calvin says here, no one goes to war unprepared. No one fights that is not ready to fight. Jesus forewarns the disciples so that they can get their bags packed, their weapons sharpened, and their shoes shined. What was coming? How bad would this persecution be for them? He tells us. They will put you, you could also translate that, throw you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. We talk about persecution in our time today, but we don't face a level of persecution so severe today that the enemies of God believe that they're doing God's will. That those who oppose God are so hating the people of God that they believe they're doing a service to Him. The disciples are told, you will be shut out of the academic square. You will lose access to the people. You will be persecuted so heavily that after you're persecuted, your persecutors will praise God for what took place. How twisted and backwards do you have to get to believe silencing God's messengers is a divine task? And let me ask you something. Do we not live in a similar day today? I said that we're not facing this kind of persecution, but aren't we? Don't we live in a day and a time where the enemies of the church are glad to persecute Christians and celebrate when Christians are taken down, when the message is silenced? You know, in seminary, we were warned. We were warned many times. A friend of this church, Bebo Elkin, said it more times than I care to remember. Do not ever put yourself in a situation where your witness can be compromised. Do not get near funds so that you can be accused of mishandling them. Do not ever put yourself in a circumstance where you can be accused of inappropriate relationships. Do not ever put yourself in a circumstance where you can be mistreated or misspoken of. Because the devil loves nothing more than to bring down his Christian leaders, which in turn often brings down the church. Protect yourself at all costs, for the enemy is fierce. And isn't it sadly true that we see this take place today? Jesus promises the disciples, this is your future. This is going to happen to you. And this is your future because those who persecute you don't know me. They don't know the Father. What they're doing, they believe they're serving as God's agents. In fact, they are doing it not knowing Him at all. They have a flawed understanding of what the Bible teaches. And we could look, there's so many cases of this in Scripture taking place. Look at Stephen in Acts chapter 7, stoned to death for proclaiming the gospel. Saul of Tarsus, one present at the stoning of Stephen, before his conversion, he sought to purge the church through murder in Acts 8 and 9, and thinking he was doing a righteous war against the enemies of God. Herod had James put to death with the sword in Acts chapter 12. Many of the disciples we have recorded either in Scripture or in church history faced gruesome deaths. But we also know, even in spite of all of that, the disciples remained faithful. They did not lose heart. Jesus told them, I have said these things so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And I know I've said it before, but John says it here and it bears repeating. If persecution is not an if but a when, what do we do? Well, the answer is simple. Calvin said it and John said it here. A great defense against persecution is to remember the words of Jesus. It will not necessarily do away with the persecution. Knowing the words of Jesus won't make it go away, but it will make it more bearable, or it will make it worth it. We don't like to think like that, do we? We don't like to consider that your persecution may be worth it for the kingdom of heaven. I don't think Stephen would have asked for what came his way. But it sure led to a mighty proclamation of the gospel, didn't it? Power we have in Jesus Christ is to endure persecution. And so in the days ahead, dear Christian, when you face persecution, remember the words of Jesus Christ. But that is not the only help that the Lord gives us. He not only gives us the words of Jesus to protect us against persecution, He also gives us the Holy Spirit. And in giving us the Holy Spirit, He gives us a weapon against sorrow. We see this in our next section. Jesus tells us at the second half of verse 4 why He took so long to tell the disciples this. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. You didn't need to hear it yet. I've been here. I've been with you. You've had what you needed. But now I'm going away, so you need these instructions. He tells them, I'm going to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? That may feel a little out of place. That's kind of an odd verse to throw in here, isn't it? But remember this. The disciples have been so focused on Jesus leaving that they've not really contemplated where He's going. Let me make sure you heard that. The disciples have been so focused on the fact that Jesus is leaving, none of them have asked Him where you're going. He's told them, He's alluded to it, but they've not really voiced it. They know He'll depart, and they've not grasped it. Instead, they are so overcome with sorrow at the loss of Jesus, they're unable to think critically. They are so overcome with grief that they cannot plan ahead. Those of us that have suffered extraordinary grief in our lives, we know this feeling, don't we? We know how easy it is to become overcome with grief and sorrow at hard news, at a difficult diagnosis, at the loss of a loved one, the termination of a job. So what do we do when we face those moments when it just seems too much to bear? We listen to the words of Jesus. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. Jesus tells them, it is good that I leave. You're sorrowful over this. This is overcoming your mind and your heart right now, that you so much that you can't think, but it is to your benefit. Why? Because the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come after I leave. If I don't leave, the Helper does not come. Why, though? Why is this such a benefit? Well, the Holy Spirit will proclaim the truth. I tell you the truth. And Jesus gives three truths the Holy Spirit will proclaim. He'll convict the world concerning sin, and righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit's going to convict because of sin. For a believer, this is good news. When we're sinful, we want correction. We want the Lord to say, you're not on track. And sometimes sorrow, even as sincere as it is, can cast us into sinful thoughts and doubts and worries and fears. It can misguide us to the point that we're not trusting in God and we're left with utter despair. But you may say, Pastor, it says He's going to convict the world here concerning sin. So how is the Holy Spirit, who dwells with believers, going to convict the unbelievers? Well, what is the other power of the Holy Spirit? It's to proclaim the truth of God's word. The proclamation of the gospel will be a judgment against sin. To the believer, it is restorative and healing and necessary. To the unbeliever, the proclamation of the gospel is further condemnation, for they will be held accountable to that which they heard and rejected. That's what he goes on to say. It's not just sin, but it's also righteousness. And again, for the believer to be made righteous or holy or God-like in our character and our conduct, while we may not enjoy it in that moment when the Lord's going, you've got a problem here and we need to deal with that, down the road in the future, as we're talking about planning ahead, we thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, for revealing that struggle, that weakness, that sin in my life. Thank you for making me more righteous. For the unbeliever, through the proclamation of God's word, the unbeliever has a chance to hear the truth and believe it and yet rejects it and therefore feels no conviction. They feel no weight of God's judgment upon them. They live unrighteously. They live unto the world. And again, that will be unto their judgment. What does he say? The third action of the Spirit. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. There will be no escape for judgment. Not even Satan himself will get out of what is coming. Go to the book of Revelation. Read those final chapters. Satan himself is judged and cast into the lake of fire and utterly and completely is destroyed. If that's the case for the father of lies, how much more so will it be the case for those who heard God's word and rejected it? For the believer, though, the Holy Spirit, the judgment we receive is, you deserve this, but you were pardoned. You deserve death, but you were forgiven. Your penalty has been paid by Christ. And so what you deserve, what you have earned, is the forgiveness of Jesus. And it may be hard to think about these things when sorrow comes. It may be difficult to contemplate. And when we're in the middle of that loss or we get that phone call, it may be hard to think about. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to teach me to trust in God and not trust in myself in this moment. But that's the beauty of the Spirit. The Spirit is often working in our lives and in our hearts, whether we acknowledge it or not, we proclaim it or not. The more we dwell in God's word and the more we pray with him and to him, the more he prepares us for those moments of sorrow. So that when they come, we will be well equipped. And then thirdly, again, we look to the Spirit. The words of Jesus protect us against persecution. The power of the Holy Spirit helps us in times of sorrow. And the truth of the Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. See that in our final section here. And I'm always impressed by the sensitivity of Jesus. This is something that's been new to me in the study of John that I've noticed as we've gone through John's gospel. Jesus Christ teaches, and he teaches unapologetically, and he teaches plainly to those, but he's also so aware of the situation in which he's teaching. He understands the sorrows, the hurts, the sadness of the people to whom he's addressing. We know that because of what he says here. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I've been blessed to serve as a teacher for a few years in my lifetime. I was not sensitive. I didn't care what was going on or if there was a pep rally later or if there was a game this week. I had a lesson. I was going to teach it, and they were going to get it or not. Jesus said, you're full. You couldn't handle any more if I poured it in right now. I couldn't spoon it in. Your sorrow is so great. And so let me encourage. Let me help you. let me remind you what he says. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He says to them, guys, it's okay. In a little while, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to fill in the gaps of everything you missed. You've got blanks right now in your understanding, but when the Spirit comes, he will open your eyes so that you see the complete picture. He will reveal the truth. And the Spirit comes on task from the Father and from the Son. He will guide you in all truth. He'll not speak on his own authority, but what he hears, he speaks. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. We have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. The Spirit declares the truth of the Father and of the Son. And by the Spirit, we're enabled to understand it. It's why we pray on the Lord's Day over and over again, Spirit, help us understand. Because we can hear it all we want. And many of you this morning, because I know the circumstances in your lives, you're a full cup. And you're going, Pastor, I appreciate you. I'm here. It took all I had just to get here, but I came as a full cup. Well, I tell you, it's okay. We record these. You can listen later. But also, the Holy Spirit, divinely working in your life, will fill in these truths in the days to come. You have been present, and if you're doing it sincerely, even if you are a full cup today, he will give you understanding. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. You're tired. You're worried. You're sorrowful. You're uncertain about the future and what's ahead. Your teacher is leaving, and you do not fully understand where or why. Knowing this, Jesus tells you in the days ahead, his word will protect you and will provide comfort during times of persecution. Jesus says, I will give the Holy Spirit who will comfort you in times of sorrow. He promises again the Holy Spirit who will teach you and remind you of truth. You listen to Jesus who just said, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be sorrowful, and you're not going to understand. And yet at the same time, what Jesus tells them is when you're persecuted, remember me. When you're sorrowful, lean on the Holy Spirit. When you lack truth, ask God. Wouldn't that help you sleep better at night? Wouldn't that give you a rest that you desperately need? That you're longing for but don't even know how to express? What Jesus offers the disciples, he offers to you and me today. Many of us are in different seasons of life. Some come this day sorrowful. Some come this day feeling the persecution of the world. Some come this day desperately in need of truth. How do we get it? We look to what Jesus said. Listen to his word. Trust what it says. Rely upon him. Lean on the Holy Spirit if you're heavy of heart today. He will give you comfort in a time of sorrow. And if you come seeking truth, ask God to give you that truth, and then go to the source of truth, his word, and pray that he will give you understanding. That's a prayer the Lord loves to answer. Help me understand your word that I might live better for you. He loves that prayer. The question for us becomes what Calvin said. If you're in war and you're not prepared, why didn't you prepare? If you're not in a time of sorrow today, if you're not in a time of persecution today, the Bible promises it will come. You may be at a mountaintop now, but the valley is coming. So while you're at the mountaintop, make ready. Pack your bag. Get the gear you need. Try to understand the mission, for you will be going through a valley soon. And when you do, if you follow the Lord's instructions here, you will know the plan for the path ahead. Jesus has a plan for your life from now until that stop in the graveyard, unless Christ comes back first. Go to him. Listen to him. Walk boldly. Please pray with me. Lord, we don't know the number of our days. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's ahead this afternoon. But we know that you are God and you are good. That you have laid out a plan for your people that will lead ultimately to their good and to your glory. Father, I know there are so many here today. There are so many that couldn't make it this morning for one reason or another that are going through difficult times. Lord, when we're faced with one of those seasons, help us to rest and rely upon you. Help us to lean upon the Holy Spirit. Help us to know your word and walk in it. And Father, one of the truths that the disciples had, let us look to one another. Jesus did not pull them individually aside. He did not talk to each one of the 11 alone, but he talked to them as a group to remind them that you do not suffer alone, but you bear this burden along with your brothers. We are a church of your people. May no one in this congregation, or none of these visitors, or none of the regular attenders, or none of those who watch us online feel that they suffer alone. But may they look to their fellow brother and sister in Christ to lift them up in difficult times. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth it proclaims. Impress it upon our hearts this day, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.